This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. These days, lotteries are everywhere. Walk into most convenience stores and you'll see scratch tickets. Big Powerball payouts stretching across state lines make headlines. But in the 1960s, the idea that lotteries were sinful and contributed to society's moral decay was more widespread than it is today. You may be surprised to learn that in the 1960s, New Hampshire was the first state to launch a legal lottery. It came after a fight involving politicians of opposing sides, religious moralists, mob members, and the FBI. In his new book, American Sweepstakes, New Hampshire author Kevin Flynn tells the story of how New Hampshire's lottery came to be. Flynn is an Emmy Award-winning former journalist and the author of four books of true crime reporting, and he's on the board of trustees for the New Hampshire Writers Project. He joins me now to talk about his book. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much for having me, Peter.
So the lottery began with a push from one politician, Larry Pickett. Tell us a little bit about him.
Larry Pickett was the former mayor of Keene. He was had a career in vaudeville before he went into politics. Maybe that's appropriate. And he was a great orator. He had the idea of running a sweepstakes window at the racetrack, and money raised from that effort would go towards pensioners and other charities. And he tried for 10 different years – I should say 10 different sessions of the legislature to bring about a sweepstakes. I should note that the first lottery wasn't a scratch ticket and it wasn't a numbers draw. It was a sweepstakes, which is a two-part process. The first part, players' names would be drawn and those players would be matched with a racehorse. And then the second part would be they would hold the race, and if that horse was in it and if they won, then that player won the jackpot. So it was a little different, but it was the kind of thing that just it took a while for the political support to get there, and it finally did in 1963.
Before 1963, though, the only lotteries in existence in the United States was actually sort of an illegal one, people buying tickets for the Irish sweep.
Yeah. You know, the history of lotteries dates back centuries. I mean, the Chinese used lotteries to pay for part of the Great Wall. And General George Washington used a lottery to pay for the Continental Army. And there was sort of different efforts to raise public funds through the use of lotteries. But by the 1890s, they had become so corrupted that Congress had to step in and ban them from the mails because that was sort of the way the tickets got across the country. So there were lotteries before that, but they went underground. One of the most popular and the one that people were most familiar with started in the 1930s in Ireland. It was the Irish sweep. Same process. People's names were drawn, matched to racehorses. These tickets were illegal in the U.S., but they were openly sold in bars and taverns and social clubs, and anybody who wanted to get a ticket could.
But sometimes they were confiscated at ports and lost, and sometimes they were stolen, and there wasn't really much oversight of this.
Yeah, the Irish sweep, you know, was supposed to be raising money for the national hospital system in Ireland. But the people who ran it, and it wasn't the government that ran it, it was a private company that did. And they skimmed a lot of money off of it, and they were able to have, you know, two pairs of books. And the way they were able to smuggle these illegal tickets back and forth across the ocean was they smuggled it along with IRA supplies and weapons because the guys who ran the sweeps were, you know, former IRA guys. So it wasn't until decades later we found out that it wasn't just good old Irish pluck that was running the Irish sweep.
Easy to see how politicians might be reluctant to get involved in something like this. New Hampshire's Democratic Governor John King, who, by the way, you really humanize very well in this narrative. You really bring him alive. He really struggled with whether to sign off on the bill that eventually made it to his desk. Ultimately, though, he did sign off on it. And then what happened to the lottery?
Well, it ended up being both a national sensation and a national scandal. The media was terribly against it. Virtually every editorial writer in New Hampshire and across the country was writing about the sweeps. They said it would give New Hampshire a bad name. It would ruin the character of bucolic New Hampshire. It said that it was going to leave us ripe for communism and for people to open charge accounts, which apparently was, you know, a specter of a really bad thing. You know, nowadays everybody's got a debit card, but I digress. It was reviled in the media. The Justice Department got involved. They were pointing to federal laws that said you cannot take gambling paraphernalia across state lines. This was a major rub because obviously they wanted tourists to come to New Hampshire and buy sweepstakes tickets. But if they took that ticket across the state line, the FBI said they could arrest that person. So the threat of arrest was there, hung over everybody's head. But still, New Hampshire forged ahead, and tens of thousands of people came to New Hampshire in the spring and summer of 1964 to get a legal sweeps ticket.
Why don't we still have the sweepstakes anymore? There was the racetrack Rockingham in Salem, but that stopped happening. Why did it stop?
Well, the popularity of the sweeps kind of wore off. It was no longer a novel thing. And there was also a problem with the U.S. Supreme Court. Eventually, a guy who was arrested, and people were arrested with lottery tickets from New Hampshire. One guy took the case to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the high court sided with the Justice Department and said that, yes, taking these tickets across state lines violates laws. That put a damper on sales, and each year it just kind of went down and went down. Also, that, you know, turned the sweeps around were the advent of other states starting their own sweepstakes and lotteries. And then numbers draws, scratch tickets, these were the popular, you know, things that were making way more money in the lottery sphere. And New Hampshire finally did away with the sweeps in 1972 in order to put its resources towards a 50-50 ticket, 50-50 raffle.
So alternative means of gambling popped up in its place.
Yeah. The lottery has, you know, evolved over the years. Scratch tickets are you know, primarily the retail item of choice. You can always remember those stories about giant mega bucks or Powerball jackpots and people lining up out the door to get those tickets. And it's easy to forget that none of that probably would have come about had New Hampshire failed. If the sweepstakes had failed, then a lot of those things probably wouldn't have come about. Other states wouldn't have started sweepstakes and started lotteries. And today there would be no mega jackpots to win. And I always say, well, forget the American dream. Without lotteries, what would be the American daydream?
Very good question. Well, Kevin, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure, Peter.
That's Kevin Flynn. He's the author of the new book, American Sweepstakes: How One Small State Bucked the Church, the Feds, and the Mob to Usher in the Lottery Age. We should note, in the interest of full disclosure, that Flynn is the spouse of an NHPR employee. We are always looking for recommendations from listeners like you about the books they've been reading. If you've got a great book you think we should check out, tell us by email. The address is books@nhpr.org. We look forward to hearing your recommendations. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.